I want to say this morning how much I appreciate this opportunity to stand before you, and I stand before you as nothing but a person trying to be a servant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, no more than that. But I do appreciate the opportunity to stand before you and share His Word this morning. I'd like to, of course, to go to Scripture in John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. In your pew Bible, this is page 1628. Listen to God's Word, the very words of His Son, Jesus Christ. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in Me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as You are in Me and I am in You. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. I have given them the glory that You gave Me, that glory may be one as We are one, I in them and You in Me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that You sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me. Father, I want those You have given Me to be with Me where I am and to see My glory, the glory You have given Me because You loved Me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know You, I know You, and they know that You have sent Me. I have made You known to them and will continue to make You known in order that the love You have for Me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. May God add His understanding to this reading of His most holy and inspired Word. Let us pray. Father God, I pray that the words from My mouth this morning may be heard according to Your will. Open our hearts and prepare them for Your message to us today. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I hope you've already noticed something this morning in what we've already done up to this point. I hope you've picked up on a special emphasis for today, an emphasis of prayer and the importance of prayer. Think back just a moment to what we've done through our time of worship this morning. Songs we sung, the children's sermon, the prayers that have been prayed. All of this with a special emphasis, I hope you heard, on prayer. There's one thing I need to say about that before we get on into the sermon. Over the next little while, as I look out across the sanctuary, and happen to notice any of you with your eyes closed, be assured I understand. You're practicing what I'm preaching. You're praying. So I understand that. But also know that I could call on you, you know, for the closing prayer, since you're already in that state of prayer anyway. So be prepared for that. Be prepared for that. Lynn's ready. So I'll be watching. All kidding aside, I have chosen as our sermon topic this morning, do you know who's praying for you? Do you know who's praying for you? Prayer is simply defined as communication with God. I love how Jessica and Scott made that point to our children and to us. You know, we don't need a telephone number to talk to Him. We don't need any fancy telephone to talk to Him. We can talk to Him anytime. He's available, always. So that communication is ours, and we should never, ever take that lightly. To put our scripture passage this morning into a little more proper context, John 17, 20 through 26 is the conclusion to what is often referred to as the high priestly prayer. This entire 17th chapter of John is written in red, except for the words at the very beginning. which say, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. So if you happen to have a version of Scripture that puts the words of Christ, the words of our Savior in red, this entire 17th chapter is in red. That's very significant. It's his blood that made this possible. Don't overlook that. John 17 is a prayer from Christ about some very special, personal, intimate, and instructional time he spent with his disciples at the conclusion of his earthly ministry, just prior to his crucifixion. In this prayer, if we were to read the whole chapter, we would see Christ praying for himself as he prepared for what laid ahead of him, his death, which is the reason God sent him in the first place, to die for us. He also prayed a very special and intimate prayer for the disciples and the ministry that lay before them. He had some very specific things that he had been training them to do. And this was the culmination of that special time with them. In this personal prayer for his disciples, he interceded for them and prayed for their joy and courage in the hours and years that would follow. Please take a closer look at verse 15, just prior to the passage where we started this morning. And I want you to notice what he said. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. After Christ was to no longer live among them, these disciples would be left to face their own destinies with their own joys and their own tribulations. They would have to share in the sufferings of their Lord. And he had told them this. Since he had been and had so many trials and been put to so many tests, they would be too in his name. They could count on it. But please notice that Jesus did not pray that his disciples would not face such trials. He simply prayed that they would be kept from the deceptions and seductions of the devil. It was not the physical or social troubles of the world from which Jesus wished his disciples to be kept, but from the moral corruption of the world. We're going to come back to that point just a little bit later after we look at another portion of this scripture, but I want you to keep that thought in mind. It's kind of an umbrella over what I'm going to say the rest of the way, and we're going to come back to that. He didn't pray for them to be, this to be taken away from them, but that they be kept from the moral corruption of this world. In the part of the prayer that we will focus on today in verses 20 through 26, we see that Jesus not only prayed for his disciples, but he also had the heart and vision to pray beyond them for those who would come to faith by the testimony of these disciples. And we have to recognize this morning that comes all the way down to us. Let that sink in for just a minute. Jesus Christ himself prayed for future believers. Jesus himself. Think about what that means to us this morning. He prayed for you and for me a very long time before we were even born. How special is that as we think about that this morning? He knew about us sitting here at this place, this God's house at New Sterling, this day. And he prayed for us as believers. Folks, it doesn't get any more special than that as we ponder that passage this morning. How special is it to realize that fact that the very Lord himself, our Savior Jesus Christ, prayed for us. Let's dig a little deeper into this passage and let's see exactly what he prayed for us. He prayed some very specific things. Please look with me, if you will, at verse 21. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Here Jesus prays for a oneness among all believers, just as he had prayed for the original disciples. A oneness among all believers. But note how the oneness is described by Jesus. Just as you are in me and I am in you. Christ is praying for a oneness like he has with God. All of the redeemed will share the same spirit, worship the same eternal God, and will accept the sacrifice of the only begotten Son of God. In the end, they will all accept one undeniable truth. Jesus is the anointed one sent from the Father as the only acceptable sacrifice that would atone for the sins of man. This common, fundamental core belief inseparably links us as believers to our Lord and Savior and yokes us together as His witnesses in a world that is often hostile to the message of forgiveness. Think about that. We are yoked as believers. We are yoked to our Lord and Savior. Following that verse in verse 22, we are told that Christ gave us as believers the glory that His Father had given Him in order that we may be one as He and the Father were one. Now, in looking at that glory, there's something we've got to recognize about that, and it goes back to something I said in our prayer earlier. That responsibility. We must recognize that with this gift of glory comes great responsibility. If we have the glory that the Father gave the Son, we must remember that it often appeared humble. It often appeared weak. It often appeared as suffering and was ultimately displayed in sacrifice. That's what having that glory means. This is the glory that Christ prayed for us as believers to recognize that we have, because He gave it to us. Earlier in the book of John, John 13:35, Jesus reminds the disciples that everyone will know that you are my disciples because of your love for each other. I must ask this morning, as we say that, and as we think about this glory, how do we stack up as believers when measured against this love standard? How do others see us? Do they see Christ in us? What do they see on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? What do they see in us? Is God anywhere to be noticed? I hope we can all answer that with a resounding yes. But each individual has to answer that between you and God. As verse 23 reminds us, this Christian unity is not about us, but more importantly, about letting the world know that God sent Christ, who loves us just like God loved Him. God sent Christ, who loves us just like God loved Him. So the glory is not ours. The glory is God's. It's about glorifying God. And Christ reminds us of that in this prayer. Verse 24 gives us another glimpse of the depth of this love from God the Father and God the Son to us as believers. He wants us, and notice what it says, He wants us to be with Him where He is, to see firsthand the glory given to Him from the Father. He wants us with Him. He's praying even then that we as believers will be with Him. Because of His great love for His Son before the creation of the world. So Christ is praying that we will be with Him. We will be with Him. While on earth, Jesus prayed for the believers' joy, our oneness in the Spirit, and our courage in the face of opposition. He now also prays that when our earthly sojourn is over, we will join Him in His kingdom to witness the full unveiled glory of the Son whom we worship. There we will share in the glory of the One sent from the Father to redeem the lost by His own willing sacrifice. Think about that day. We can't even touch it. But we can imagine. On that day, we as believers will fully comprehend the enormity of that sacrifice as we finally realize that Jesus shared the glory with His Father long before the creation of the world. There absolutely is no greater love than this. We as His people will one day dwell with Him in the glorious realm of the heavenly kingdom, from which He had been dispatched by the Father to become the Lamb of God. He is back there now and He is preparing for us a place. The promise is here. Redeemed man will enter the very courts of heaven and see his Redeemer face to face. Face to face. Imagine that. I know we can't. It's unbelievable to think about. Please listen again to verses 25 and 26. Righteous Father, though the world does not know You, I know You, and they know that You have sent Me. I have made You known to them and will continue to make You known in order that the love You have for Me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. As this very special prayer from Jesus draws to a close, and Christ prepares to face the cross, because keep in mind, that's coming real soon. Jesus is full of faith and triumph. He's not scared. He's not cowering behind anyone or anything or anybody. He's ready. In faith and triumph, He's ready. The battle is still ahead, but He goes forth as a conqueror. His mind is not clouded by confusion or fear on what He should do. He knows the plan. This prayer concludes with the great secret of Christian living: Jesus and His love indwelling in the believer. Jesus and His love indwelling in the believer. So there you have it. The first answer to our sermon question, do you know who's praying for you, is Jesus. Jesus Himself, our very Lord Himself, prayed for us. As we realize that Christ prayed for us, this should underscore the importance of our praying for each other. After all, Christ is our ultimate example of how we are to live our lives. There are a few points I need to make and want us to keep in mind as we think about this. The first one is, when you say you will pray for someone, do it. When you say you will pray for someone, do it. No excuses accepted. That's the way we have to look at it. No excuses accepted. You do it. We can't just give it lip service. We've got to pray as we said we would. Let's look at both sides of this for just a moment. Think about the peace that you feel in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when you ask someone to pray for you and you know without a doubt that it will be done. Think about the peace that you feel. The peace like a river that we sung about a while ago. The peace that only God can give to know that that's going to be done. Likewise, looking at another side of this, think about the peace you receive in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when someone specifically asks you to pray for them. When someone asks you to pray for them, and you obediently do it. That's an awesome responsibility to be asked to do that. But it's also an honor to know that God is allowing you to be used this way to further His kingdom. There are many people that have been blessed with the talent of being a prayer warrior. We have a lot of those folks here at New Sterling. And I know as I said the term, prayer warrior, names started coming to your mind. And these are people that when you have a need for someone to pray, you immediately start thinking of them and get in touch with them because you know as soon as they know it, they will be praying. There's no doubt about it. They look forward to taking the needs of others before the throne of our Lord and Savior in prayer. They look forward to this. They've been blessed that way. They've been talented that way. They are also the ones that when you ask them to pray for you, they immediately start looking around to try to find a place where the two of you can go to pray. They're not going to put it off. They want to do it now. Now. We have so many wonderful examples of that in this church right now and in the history of this church. And it's so special. My prayer is that in the name of our Lord and Savior that we would all strive to be more of a prayer warrior. We may not all be specifically gifted that way, as some are, but we can all pray. It's not about the pretty flowery words. It's about opening our heart and communicating with God. He takes it from there. We have to be willing to do it. In His name, we all should be desiring to be known as a prayer warrior. What a privilege to have that name in His name. The other thing I want us to think about along with this, what do we pray for? Well, the obvious answer is, If we're praying for someone, then we know exactly what we should be praying for based on what the person or someone else has told us, or based on what we have seen or know is going on in that person's life. And that's not necessarily a wrong answer. But I want you to look back at something that I mentioned earlier. Please look again at verse 15. Notice what Jesus said. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Jesus prayed that His disciples, and likewise all believers, be protected from the moral corruption of this world. I lay before you this morning that based on Christ's example and as Christian brothers and sisters, that's the first thing that we should be praying for each other every day. We live in a cruel world. It's cruel out there. And we know that. We've got the scars to prove it. So as we go to prayer each day, we need to make that, I think, number one on our prayer list for each other as Christian brothers and sisters. For that protection, to be protected from the moral corruption of this world. By nature, we humans are sinful creatures. Remember, Paul reminded us of this in Romans 7, verses 15 and 17, when he writes, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. Having said that, Paul goes on to tell us in Romans 7:24-25 that it is only God through Jesus Christ our Lord who can and has rescued us from our sin. So as Christian brothers and sisters, we need to be praying for each other to recognize the God-given strength that it takes to live in this world without becoming of this world. And it takes us praying for each other for that each and every day. Because it's tough. I want you to take a look around this house of the Lord this morning. Just take a quick glance at all the people that are here. It's no accident that we're all here in this place together this morning. I want you to think about that as well. Different reasons and different circumstances might have gotten us here this morning. But the realization of the importance of being there and praying for each other keeps us here. That realization of how important we are to each other keeps us here. And we should never forget that. Each one of us is very important to the others sitting around us. Look at all those that God has placed in our lives. You think about all here, and you think about all outside of here. All of those that God has placed in our lives. We are to be His hands and feet to those around us in need. Do you know who's praying for you? Hopefully, it's everyone sitting around you this morning. Because He, Christ, first prayed for us. And if we haven't been praying for all of those around us this morning, it needs to start today. We're already late, but we can start today. We need to be praying for those around us. It's so important. We have His example. Do you know who's praying for you? He first prayed for me. And I praise God that I know that so many of you are praying for me. And I thank you for that. Because the proof's in the pudding. Without that, there is absolutely no way that I could stand before you this morning without the prayers that have been lifted up. And I thank you for that. To God be the glory. Amen.